Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve looks at today's events already foretold by God's Word. The Bible stands alone. No other book in history has such specific and detailed descriptions of the world we live in right now. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
What's he talking about? The four generals of Alexander the Great. And dominion was given into it. That's beast number three. Now beast number four. Now check this out. Now after these three, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast. Notice this beast cannot be likened to any actual animal. The bear was strong and lumbering. The leopard. Did you know that Alexander the Great typically traveled with a force of 35,000 men? And they moved lightning fast, and many of their maneuvers were later copied by another fella in Europe, a fella by the name of Adolf Hitler. He renamed it and called it Blitzkrieg. So Alexander the Great was like a leopard. He was fast afoot. Now the seventh, verse 7, the fourth beast, he's not like any beast Daniel had ever seen. The fourth beast was dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring and breaking in pieces and trampling the residue with its feet. If you will, on your margin there, mark that Rome A. The Bible talks about in other places that Rome is going to fade and then come back into existence. Now, this next portion, this last portion of verse 7, write Rome B. Rome B was different from all of the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. Horns in the Bible speak of authority or even kingship. Skip down to verse 17. Let's keep reading verse 17 of Daniel 7. Those great beasts, those four great beasts, which are four, these are four kings, or if you will, kingdoms, which will rise out of the earth. In Daniel's time, remember, these nations had not yet come about. Daniel says, what are these four beasts? I'm going to tell you. In Daniel's day, these are future. Did Daniel nail those four nations? The leopard, the bear on 4 feet and then stand up like two, a lion's head with the eagle's wings, etc. Those great beasts which are four kings or kingdoms which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. In other words, don't worry, Daniel. God's still going to win, so don't worry. Verse 19, then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, Rome. Exceedingly dreadful with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured and broke into pieces and trampled the residue with its feet. And then what's up with the 10 horns? The 10 horns that were on its head and the other horn before which 3 fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words. The Antichrist is who this is speaking of. He has many titles, 33 in the old, 13 in the new. We know him sort of as the Antichrist, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. And I was watching the same horn, the Antichrist, and it was making war against the saints. And here's a clue. And was prevailing against them. There's a clue. Let me ask you. Will the devil ever have ultimate control over the destruction of God's church birthed in the second chapter of the book of Acts? What's the answer? When Jesus said to the boys, who are men saying that I am? He had some answers. Who do you say that I am? Peter pipes up and says, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. Jesus said, well said, Peter. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. But my Father in heaven, and upon this rock, he wasn't pointing to Peter, we know. Peter, his name is the Greek word petro, and it means little pebble. And upon this rock, different word, petra, huge stone, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Has the church goofed up good and well a lot? But God always sees to it that there is a proper remnant still being a witness for him. But this is saying that this Antichrist wages war against the saints and prevails against it. These are tribulation saints. How do I know? Jesus said that the saints in this room, God's church, birthed in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and will be taken away at the rapture. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Who are these people? These are people who become Christians because they missed the rapture. And the seven seals of the book of Revelation are squeezing them and squeezing them and squeezing them. And finally, it comes down to, are you going to take the mark of the beast? And there are millions who say, no. I missed Jesus the first time. I'm not going to miss him again. But the point is they pay for their devotion to Christ with their heads. Verse 22. Until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom, which is Revelation 19, Jesus returns to the earth, wipes out all that the devil has done. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth, Rome, which shall be different from all other kingdoms. It shall devour the, say it with me, whole earth. Now, was Rome a formidable kingdom? Absolutely. Did it rule the whole earth? No, because that hasn't come about. Right in your margin there, that's Rome B. Verse 24. The ten horns are the ten kings who shall arise from this, Rome A, kingdom. Does that make sense? There's going to be a world ruling system that will have its basis in the former empire of Rome. And another shall rise after them, the ten nations, and that's the Antichrist. He shall be different from the first ones. He shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High, tribulation saints, and he shall intend to change the times and the laws. What does that mean? He's going to take the individual calendars of the individual societies and make one single calendar. Do we have a calendar here in America? And on our calendar, do we celebrate important American times? We've got Washington's birthday, Lincoln's birthday, 4th of July. Do you see what's happening there? The Antichrist is going to take everybody's calendar and trash it. Because if he trashes their calendar, then they have no national identity. And all identity will be then with him. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, one, times and a half a time, 3.5 years. Quickly move now to Revelation 13. Do you understand that Daniel prophesied these things before any of these came about? Go ahead and hit the next one. Does this look familiar to anybody? These are in the blue. These are the 27 nations of what's called the European Union. They have their headquarters in Belgium, Brussels, Belgium, and also in France. And what they have done, they put together a mutual defense clause, they put all stuff together, and if you've been following that, how many of you know that all of the individual currencies of those nations have been absorbed into one single currency called the euro? How many of you are familiar with that? And I'll show you a picture of the currency here in just a minute, and you'll see pictures of buildings on that currency, and it looks kind of cool and official. Those buildings don't exist because it was decided and figured and by design, we have to take out of the German mark all of the things that made the currency uniquely German. We had to take out of the French franc, all of the symbols and people and the portraits and the buildings that you would think of things of France. They put nondescript buildings there because they are trying to make a supra national entity. Let me tell you what happened. After World War II, was Europe a wreck, everybody? It was a terrible wreck. One of the reasons they got into the problems that they did, also World War I, was of the fierce nationality of the various nations that make up Europe. How many of you remember May 14th, 1948 is when Israel became a nation again? Is that significant? You know who also was birthed in 1948? The European Union. In 1948, it's called the Treaty of Brussels. Next slide. Belgium, France, Luxembourg, Netherlands, and the UK, they said, this is nonsense. We have to minimize the borders between us. We have to make trade much easier. And they came up with something, a plan for a mutual defense clause, cultural and social clauses, easing of the borders, and here's something called a consultative council. What is that? We're going to have a council that meets that to some degree, not supersedes at that point, but will transcend our individual national governments. 1957, this is a picture snapped in something called the Treaty of Rome. This is in Rome, 1957. This is what started with the steel and coal people, and they started to lessen the national boundaries between the nations of Europe. And then in 1957, they signed the Treaty of Rome, which formed the European Economic Community. Here's the plan. Individually as nations, we can't compete globally. Let's all pool our resources and our workforce and ultimately our money, and then we will act as one single economy. Would that be good? And right now, the European Union is now the third economy in the world behind the United States, China. It's working. They're running into some hiccups now, but the point of it is they became a formidable force. They have their own flag. They have their own national anthem, Ode to Joy. They have a parliament. And the next most important treaty is probably the Treaty of Lisbon in 2009 that was actually instituted in the last portions of 2010. Get this. Well, all of the 27 member nations have signed a constitution that supersedes the individual parliaments and governments of the individual nations. They have a president. Let me rephrase it. There is a man. Now, he doesn't have all the powers just yet, but on paper, they exist. There is a man, potentially a single ruler of Europe, for the first time since Emperor Trajan. It is a revitalization of the Roman Empire, just like Revelation said. Next one. That's Treaty of Lisbon in 2009. Pretty cool place. Go ahead. There's the Euro. Do you see those buildings there? You think, well, isn't that the Arc de Triomphe? Not really. They are nondescript notes. The nationalities are nowhere depicted on those ports. All right, what's this? This is a painting done in the year 1563 by a fellow named Peter Bruegel. And what he's doing is he's depicting Genesis chapter 11 and the account of the Tower of Babel. If you do an intense study of it, it's not balanced right. It's sort of fallen apart. See in the middle there, there's that gash that things are breaking up, and it's just not working. What Peter Bruegel was trying to depict is, see what man can do? He does it, gives it a good shot, but, you know, basically he always messes it up. See the people in the lower left-hand corner? That would be the nations, the kings of those nations at that time. So it's just a quaint story, right? Where the people of God came together, tried to build this tower as an astrological base so that they could further their occultic astrology directly against what God said. And God said, if this is what the humans do when they put their brain, I've got to confuse the languages. How many of you know that the internet is reversing the Tower of Babel? Next slide. This was a poster that came out in the year 1992 and 93. It was a poster talking about the European Union. And notice what it says there. It says, Europe, many tongues, one voice. Now I want you to notice the tower. Where was the inspiration for the tower? It's the Peter Bruegel Tower of what, everybody? Babylon! And the people down, instead of kings, they're workers and robot people and all kinds of freaky looking art deco kind of whatever. That's preposterous, right? That's just happenstance and fairy tale. Next picture. This is the Louis Weiss building completed in Strasbourg, France, which houses the European Community's Parliament. It was completed in 1999. It has 2.5 million square feet. Do you notice a passing resemblance? Did you know that this building was specifically designed to match the Peter Bruegel painting of the Tower of Babel? And that's not all. If you go on your lunch break and you want to eat your lunch outside on the forum, you might run into this little statue right here. What is that? Well, I'll tell you what that is. That is Revelation chapter 17. And behold, I saw a woman, the harlot, and she was riding the what? The beast, this beast, the second Rome. Now you're saying, no, that's not it. What that is that's Europa, who Zeus thought she was kind of a hottie, so he swims up, but he wasn't working out, so he figured maybe she wouldn't like me, so he transforms into the form of a bull. He comes up on the water, invites her to take a ride. Ladies, if a bull comes up on the lake or the sea with a ride, don't get on. Just didn't work out too well for Europa, but that's what's depicted. And so they said, that's what that is. That's Europa. You know what I say? In the front of the building that was designed to be and look like Babylon itself, I think that's the woman riding the beast. I think that's the devil going, nobody's watching! Remember the 10 horns we told you about? Rome A would be a monster like no one would ever understand. It was iron teeth and so on. Rome B, when it comes back into existence, it's going to be comprised of 10 kings. And for you prophecy fans who were prophecy fans in the early 80s, do you remember how excited you got when the European Economic Community invited, I believe it was Greece, who was the 10th nation? You just got done reading The Late Great Planet Earth from Hal Lindsey, and you were like, this is awesome. And then all of a sudden, there's 10 nations, and we all went, we're so out of here. And then two more nations, and then finally there's 27. What's up with that? I think in the 80s, we might have been a bit myopic. Don't forget what you read in Daniel chapter 7. Rome B captures how much of the world? All of the world. Rome B does. And so now, this is very fascinating. How many of you know about the European Union now? You've got some studying. What they did was they're going to come together, reduce national boundaries in between. Ultimately, well, they had in 2004 the same currency. And on the books right now is a constitution that when that day happens, already in place are the treaties and the framework for one man to rule the region of Europe. The other nations of the world saw the European Economic Community's model and they began to move toward the same way. The African Union began in talks in 1963, and as of 2002, the CERT Declaration has put in place a continent-wide constitution. The African Union has a capital in Addis Ababa and also Madrid. Number two, the Union of South American Nations. Capital. Do you know that these have national anthems? Many of them have written on how they're going to combine their military. Many of them are well on the way to a singleized currency. Did you know that? Many of them have parliamentary buildings ready to meet. They're already in place. Union of South American Nations began in 2004, has a capital in Sao Paulo. A constitutive treaty was passed in May of 2008. The Asian Cooperative Dialogue began in 2002 and moving quickly in the same direction. South Asia Association, headquartered in Kathmandu, Nepal, began in 1985 and also was well on their way to a singleized currency system. The Association of Southeast Asian Nations, Jakarta is their capital, began in 1967, and they passed their transcontinental, so to speak, charter in 2008. The Pacific Island Forum began in 1971. Capital in Suva, Fiji. Eurasian Economic Community, guess where their capital is? Moscow, you would be right. Began in 1996. Greater Arab Free Trade Association. Those Arabs can't agree on nothing until the Arab Spring. Have you heard a little something about the Arab Spring? There was a reason why the Arab countries really couldn't get on the same page. It's because these dictators that were in charge of these various nations. Is that changing? Now we're on North American Free Trade Association, NAFTA. You don't hear much about it now, but it was begun in 1992. Mr. Clinton and now Mrs. Clinton, by the way, they love NAFTA, and there's a lot of reasons why. And some of that has lost a bit of esteem, but make no mistake, there are charters in existence, and there are literally physical buildings in Mexico City that are in anticipation of a parliamentary body that would represent the North American Free Trade Association. And of course, don't forget the European Union began in 1948. Israel sparks on the scene and the cameras of the world and the attentions of earth focus on it. And then we start yawning again and say, ho-hum. And underneath, there was another rebirth, ladies and gentlemen. The rebirth of Rome. And notice that they're coinciding. Are you ready to do the count? Let's do the count. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 for the tape. Am I just crazy? Or do you see what's going on? Jesus said, when you see these things begin to transpire, don't freak out. Look up. I'm coming. Would you join me in prayer? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you that this audience was very polite. And Father, thank you, Lord. And I pray by your Spirit, you have made the connections. We're going to be thinking about our bills and our kids and our relationships. But Lord, that does not dismiss us from the responsibility of watching. The world is literally doing all of the precursor homework. For when the rapture happens, which changes everything. Okay, the European Union, I can see, but they'll never be a one singleized army or region. And certainly those other regions. I want to say to you, saint of God, when the rapture happens, all bets are off. The church is gone, and the universal nature and conviction of the Holy Spirit is removed. The Antichrist is literally allowed a certain license of authority and power. Right now, these 10 regions seem only economic in their design. But do you see that when the rapture happens and the Antichrist gets the green light from God, so to speak, that everything changes and the world will race suddenly to 10 regions, just like Daniel said. And if we miss it, then shame on us. Move mightily in our midst, Lord. This is not intended to scare or scold. This is intended as a gentle, if perhaps not so gentle, nudge in the ribs. Wake up! Wake up! And look up, for your redemption draws near. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to a recent prophetic update by Pastor Steve. What a comfort to know that no matter what the headlines are saying, everything is proceeding just as God has foretold. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.